Please do turn to the psalm that we read earlier, a portion of it, Psalm 107. This is a delightful psalm. It starts one of the books where we are particularly urged to give thanks to God for his goodness and his mercy. I want to consider the first 9 verses tonight. On other occasions, we shall look at the remainder. There are 4 wonderful pictures in this psalm. The first is found in verses 4-9. It's the picture of wanderers, those who have strayed. We've all strayed. Wanderers who are brought home. And the Lord God finds these wanderers. It says they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. They are lost. They're travellers. And the Lord finds them. You look down in verse 10 just to show you the other pictures. The picture in verse 10 is very different. These are prisoners. They're bound. They're captive. And the Lord comes into their darkness and he looses them from their chains and they are freed. What a wonderful picture of the unbeliever before they're brought into light and they are freed. There's a third picture in verse 17. The picture there is of sickness, of some sort of inability, of illness. And the Lord comes with healing, and he rescues, and he heals, and he restores. And the fourth picture is in verse 23. This is altogether different. This is of mariners, those who sail the 7 seas, and they go down in their ships, and they are tossed this way and that, and they're in great danger as they travel the seas, but the Lord comes again to the storm-tossed seafarer, and he rescues them. 4 contrasting pictures. And God willing, tonight, with the Lord's help, on a humid evening, we shall look just at the first one, here in verses 1-9. They wandered. Wanderers brought home. Are you wandering tonight? If you don't know Christ, if you haven't found a home in heaven, if you haven't found Christ as your Saviour, here is a picture. Maybe it's a picture of your life. Wandering. Wandering in the wilderness. Well, the beginning of the psalm, as each section repeats itself, it says we are to give thanks. This is speaking to those who have found a home. They were wandering, and so the psalmist says, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. 4 pictures of salvation. Which one is true of you tonight? Are you able to give thanks to God? Are you able to give thanks because of his goodness? In salvation, because his mercy is the same then as the psalmist when he wrote these words, as it is today. The same mercy, the same goodness, it endures forever and ever. And so, the refrain that we are to repeat in our hearts and mind in verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We have an elderly gentleman, he's not here tonight, and he loves this verse. He used to say to me that somebody once would call out, can you not say these words? Let the redeemed of the Lord, those that have been saved, that you know the Lord and you can say in your heart and mind, oh, give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and mercy. Let those who've been saved, the redeemed, that picture of being bought back, being rescued, the purchase ransom price has been paid, and so you can say, he has redeemed my soul. I was a wanderer, and the Lord came and found me. I was lost. He called me. Verse 3. He gathered us from the north, the south, the east, the west. I was far from God, lost in my sin, and the Lord came and found me. So that's the picture. It's like a chorus that repeats itself before the four pictures. So let's turn to verse 4. Wanderers brought home. Is there somebody wandering tonight? And with all the kindness of God, as the preacher this evening, can I call you to wander no more? Are you wandering in life? Going here and there. You ask a person, where are you going? Oh, I don't know. I'm just wandering through life, meandering. Well, the Lord would speak to you tonight, personally, in your heart. Well, here is the picture of the wilderness. Let's look at verse 4. This is the individual away from Christ. They're far away. Of course, this is a picture of the children of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness those 40 years. It's no doubt speaking of the time after Egypt, but also probably after Babylon, the second captivity for the nation of Israel. And it says of them, they wandered. It's the same word in the Hebrew as all we like sheep have gone astray. We've wandered. There was a pathway that we should have been on, but we've wandered. We've left it. God said, walk this way. You keep on this path, but all of us, like sheep, have wandered. We've gone astray. We've gone on our own way. They wandered in the wilderness. They were turning this way and that way. It seemed good to start with. They went their own way, but they got into trouble. They're in the wilderness. What's the wilderness night like? Think of the heat. 50 degree temperatures centigrade in the desert. It's not a comfortable place. There's no water there. Nothing much to eat. Some insects perhaps. A few shriveled up shrubs. They wandered in the wilderness. There are bandits. There's many dangers. Think about your life. Think about the dangers that you have away from God. Without a savior, without a guide, without a shepherd. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. Lonely. Isolated. A far way from a town or a city, in the wilderness. They wandered in the desert wastelands. That's what it means, the wilderness. They couldn't find a path. In a solitary way, a lonely way, they were off the path. That's what it literally means. They couldn't find a pathway to a city. Here they are, 40 years. They can't find a home. They wander. They meander. They've left the pathway. They try going this way and that way and, oh, that's no good. They're wandering. They're lost. They're lost from where they should be. You see, that's life, isn't it? My life, your life, is just a journey from cradle to grave. For some, it won't be very long. For some, maybe 100 years. But still, if you don't know the Lord, if you don't have a shepherd and a guide to heaven, you're just wandering in the wilderness of life, in a solitary way, off the path, and you've not found a city. You see, that's the picture. In the book of Hebrews, it takes up the same picture, that we're looking for a city not made with human hands, the city which is Christ Jesus. He's our city. He's our heavenly Jerusalem, That's what they were looking for. A city where they would be well supplied, protected, hedged about with the thickest of thick walls. That's Christ. But they were wandering in that desert. They found no city to dwell in. They kept on picking up their tent. We're on the move again. There's nowhere to live there. There's a homeless person that I've got to know in Bedford. I hadn't seen him for 2 years until he knocked our door the other day. I said to him, "Where have you been?" "Oh, I've been everywhere. I've been here. I've been there. I've been in Wellingborough. I've been in Rushton. I've been in Bedford. I've been in the park. Wandering in the wilderness. No city to dwell in, nowhere to say it's home. Have you come home? Are you wandering like the prodigal son? No home. Searching for a city. Searching for safety. Searching for peace. Searching for satisfaction. Wandering around from here to there." That's the life away from Christ. Do you know, some of us here, we know about this. Because that's what we were once doing. Wandering. We hadn't found. We hadn't arrived at the celestial city. We hadn't come to that point of crisis. We hadn't come to the place where we had met Christ. So that's the first point in verse 4. But you see in verse 5, the person reaches rock bottom. That's what we need to do. We need to meet with God. We need to be in a crisis point. This is the way it's described. Can you imagine them on their journey? They've been going for quite some time. Days, months, maybe years. Now they find themselves with no supplies left. They're hungry. They're thirsty. Their soul faints. You see, this isn't just physical. This is spiritual. Their soul, the inner part of them, the part of you or me that is not somewhere you can put your finger on. Their soul fainted. They start to have an emptiness inside them. Life must be more. There must be somewhere that I can settle. There must be something to feed me, to give me that satisfaction. There must be living waters. Their soul faints inside them. I've tried everything. Here's the crisis point. Here's the turning point. Here's the place where we come to an end of ourself. And we must call out to God. Do you know, I heard of somebody this week. I knew him very well. We shared a birthday. He was quite a bit younger than me. And in his teenage years, he made some bad, bad choices. He got married and it ended badly. He ended up with a number of addictions, one after the other. Different addictions. I heard just this week from one of his family members that he'd turned into a bad place again. He'd ended up making somebody pregnant. He'd ended up addicted to yet another drug. This was a young man that grew up in chapel, in Sunday school. He once had a profession, but it was sham. He wandered in the wilderness. That's where he is now, hungry and thirsty. And you know, the crisis point maybe has reached in his life. I hope so. I pray so. One of his family members just a few weeks ago had to deter him from taking his own life. What a tragedy. Life away from God, away from Christ, in the wilderness, hungry, thirsty, their soul fainted. within them. That's the position we've got to come to. Some people think they can cope in life. They think they can get by. They think they can get through the desert. They think they have enough. They'll make do. Hungry and thirsty. This is hitting rock bottom. This is saying, I can't go on like this. I can't carry on with that sin, that addiction. I can't have a life that just consists of getting up, going to work, coming home, the same day after day, the monotony. The soul faints within them. This is what our hymn writer says, Charles Wesley. Here, on a narrow neck of land, 'twixt two unbounded seas I stand, yet so insensible. That's the problem, we don't feel it. But this person begins to feel hungry. There's a need. They feel thirsty. There's a need. Their soul faints. There's a need. That's what needs to happen. We need to feel our need. We don't wait for the Lord to magically appear. The Lord would have us to feel our need. So that's the turning point. The need is felt. Look at the third point here in verse 6. The rock bottom has been reached. They can't go on in the desert anymore. And then what happens? Here's real prayer. The prayer of desperation. A prayer of exasperation. A prayer of need. Then they cried. Do you know they knew the Lord? They knew the God of Israel. They knew that He was a God that could be prayed to. And so they get down on their knees and they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. If there's somebody troubled tonight, if you've got troubles and burdens in your soul, you've been wandering here and there, this is what you need to do. Cry out to the Lord. Pray to Him in your trouble. This is what the psalm is teaching. There'll be four pictures in the psalm, and each of them comes to the crisis point. Look down at verse 19. You see the pattern repeating itself. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. It's a repeat of what it says in verse 6. This is the sinner's prayer. This is, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Some people don't bother. They go on in life. They fall into the next trap, the next addiction, the next trouble, the next pit, and they can't get out. They've struggled out of the last one. But this person, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. They say something like this, Lord, save me, we're dying. We've got no water. The food has run out. We're helpless. There's dangers, there's wild animals, there's snakes, we've been bitten. We can't find anywhere to stay. We look for somewhere to live. We look for somewhere that we can call home. My life is hanging on a thread. So we call out in trouble. Will the Lord hear? Well, He shouldn't. We've got no right to call upon Him and expect to be heard, because we've spurned Him before. There have been times we should have prayed and we didn't. There have been situations we found ourselves in because of our own sin and we didn't cry. But now the desire is there to pray. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And He delivered them. Well, how desperate are you tonight? Are you willing to pray in such a way as you won't let God go until He hears you. Are you willing to pray in such a way that whatever He tells you to do, you will do it? If He says to you, you need to turn, you need to repent, you will leave every sin. You will leave every hope. You will desire no longer to live in the desert wastelands, but you'll ask for the Lord to bring you into His city, to be with His people, to come into your heavenly and earthly home in the Church of Jesus Christ. Will you call upon Him? Will the Lord hear you? He will. He heard them. He heard them before they even called. And look what it says in verse 6. He delivered them. He took the snakes away. He gave them living waters. The bread of heaven came down and fed them. And look at verse 7. Here's the shepherd picture. That's why we read Ezekiel 34. The shepherds, the under-shepherds, they weren't feeding the people, they were eating the food. But here the good shepherd, he led them forth by the right way. Do you know there's a right way and a wrong way? Have you been on the wrong path? Have you been living life away from God? In the wilderness, wastelands? The Lord hears your prayer. Lord, save me. Rescue me. And there He comes and He says, this is the way. Walk therein. And He led them by the right way, that they might go to a city. There's no cities really in the desert. I know there's man-made cities in the Middle East, but this is the ancient picture. Nobody would live in a desert. If they had the choice of living where there was a well, where there was safety, where there was homes, where there was food. And the Lord says, this is it. Do you know who is that way? It's Jesus Christ. He is the way. Just turn with me for a concluding remark to Isaiah in chapter 35. We see another picture here, figuratively, of the wilderness. It's a lovely picture. It has other pictures within it, but we just focus on the wilderness. Isaiah 35. Here is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The wilderness and the solitary place. The empty, deserted, lonely place shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice. And the blossom as the rose. Do you know, in Israel today, there is an enormous industry going on of aquaculture in the deserts of Israel. Roses growing. Fruits growing. This is the picture here. And the desert shall rejoice and the blossom of the rose. It shall blossom abundantly. And rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord. The excellency of our God. This is speaking of Christ. In the middle of the desert, roses spring up. Food is there. Water is there. And those that have wandered will find the right path. Are you on the right path? Up until now, you've been wandering. Would you find the right path? Would you come to the Good Shepherd, who will be the only guide to heaven? The one who will lead, comfort, feed. And you'll be able to lay down in green pastures. In the middle of this desert land, the Lord would have you to lie down, and He will feed you, and He will bring your soul what you need, so that you can see everything. For life supplied in Jesus Christ. Do you know a final comment? The Lord Jesus went to the desert. He went there willingly. He went there because the Holy Spirit took him to the desert. He went there to be in the desert so that you and I don't have to be. We don't have to live in a desert. We don't have to be under Satan's power. Christ allowed himself to be tested and tempted, and he didn't succumb, not once. He went to the desert, and he went there for you and for me. He went there to taste of the dryness and the hunger and the barrenness of life under the clutches of Satan, so that we don't have to live that way. Look to Christ. He is the shepherd. He is the pathway. He is the highway. This way, it's a holy way. He won't have anybody go on it unless they've turned from their sin, unless they've left their old ways behind. And the Lord will guide, and he will lead you to heaven. But you must come to him first. Come to Jesus Christ. He will show you the right way. Let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, we come to thee tonight. We would not live in a desert, barren land with the loneliness and isolation of life, hopeless and helpless. But we would come to the one. We would call out. We would pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And in our trouble and in our distress, hear us, we pray. May there be those that come tonight to call out to God in the desert land of life. And would they find in Jesus Christ everything that they need for time and for eternity? We pray this in Jesus' name.